Let us turn to Psalm number 90, the 90th Psalm. Shall read verse 1 to verse 12. The 90th Psalm, verse 1 to 12. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest men to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our days as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. A very good morning to brothers and sisters in Christ. First of all, I'd like to thank our pastor, Reverend Toh, and also the session for inviting me to share with you the Word of God this morning. This morning, we are going to think of the topic, Have You Numbered Your Days? Several years ago, when I went to China, I visited Xi'an, and then we were brought to a place where the terracottas were. There were altogether four big halls, and we could see the statues of what Emperor Qin had done in about 2,200 years ago. Well, Emperor Qin was an emperor who was very ambitious. He wanted to live forever, and everlasting, or rather perpetual. He wanted his life to be perpetual. And so he sent his emissaries to all parts of the world, including Korea and also Japan, so as to obtain herbs that he might take, and then he might live forever in order to rule the Qin dynasty. But it's so unfortunate that his kingdom lasted only for 15 years. And after the rule, he died after his ruling of 15 years. Now the Bible in Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, tells us, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. I believe this is the everlasting truth. No one can deny that man is born and man is to die in time to come. But even the patriarch here teaches us about that, that we are constantly in the wrath of God while in this world. Now this is because our forefather Adam and Eve sinned. And as a result, we had to labor and work hard and sweat. And eventually, we have to die. But Moses teaches us two very important things. First of all, he teaches us about God in this particular passage. What kind of God is God here, according to what Moses has taught you and me? In Psalm 102, verse 25, the psalmist said, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands." Now it teaches us that in the very ancient time, God had created heaven and earth. The heaven and earth was created by Him. So it is in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 13. "Mine hand also has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together." The last passage here in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, said the Lord, which spreadeth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him." Now these three passages teaches us that God is eternal. He was even before the creation of the world. Now we are not like Jehovah's Witnesses. Now I taught in the college about Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus Christ was created. So he had a beginning. In other words, Jesus Christ is God, and God has a beginning. And so in John 1:1, it says that in the beginning, and there are many people thinking that in that case, God should be, there's a beginning for God. But it means that before the creation of the world, God was already there. So that tells us that God is an eternal God. He is an eternal God. He was God even before the creation. Now God was already there. So Moses said the same thing in the 90th Psalm. He said, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." So it tells us here that God is not eternal. God is not created. He's eternal. Before the creation of the earth, God was already there. He is eternal. Now, many people thought that God is a God that only created by Christianity or perhaps by someone else like that. Say, there's no God. How can you see God? You don't see God. How can you see God? So in 1969, when the astronaut Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, both of them went up in the Apollo spacecraft. Now when they went up to the spacecraft before they landed the moon, they went into orbit, seeing that the universe and the world in a very small size like that. And I think it's so awe-inspiring. Because they said, God is so great. We are able to see the creation of God. Though we do not see God, but we can see Him in His creation. There's someone who must have created this, otherwise there's no God. But the Russian astronaut of Sputnik, when he was up in the Sputnik spacecraft, looking everywhere and say, "Where is God? I've not seen God. I look everywhere, but there's no God." Well, today, I think it's the same thing. People do not think there is a God. They say, "Where is God?" Just like the Russian astronaut. But The creation tells us that God, what? God is eternal. He has created something that we can see from there. Now, God is eternal is already recorded in the Bible. It tells us from everlasting to everlasting. But did God only exist only in the ancient days and not now or in the future? I think that's not so. Because the Bible, in many passages that teaches us that He is the God of Abraham, He is the God of Isaac, and He is the God of Jacob. From Abraham to Isaac is another generation. From Isaac to Jacob, one more generation. And it goes down and down and down. So in other words, God is everlasting. From the beginning of the before the creation, even up to now, up to forever, is God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It's a very, very popular verse. Tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is God Himself. He's God yesterday, He's God today, and He's God forever. In other words, He tells us that God is everlasting. God is eternal. Now, God is not only eternal, but God is also almighty. Why almighty? Because the creation of the earth, the universe, all been created by God. He's almighty. And man's life is also in the hand of God. You see that we live in this world, and the Bible tells us that we often live in the wrath of God. Because man sin, then we live in the wrath of God. So the Bible tells us that God is what? God is eternal, but God also is what? Is almighty. But it tells you that today you go, then today you go. At one time I was telling a friend, I said, if God comes to you today and trying to take you away, would you say no? I said, no, how can that be? What I'm telling in a story, I said there was once a Persian businessman, very successful. He was doing business so well, and in about mid-30 or so, one day the god of death came to him, said, "I'm going to take you away." But this businessman was in Baghdad long, long time ago. So he thought that I must try to run away from this god of death. So he rode a white horse. From Baghdad he rode up to Samarra, another city which is being bombed by the Allied army during the Gulf War. Now when this businessman rode up to Samarra, you know what happened? The god of death was waiting for him there. Now it tells you that death is being what? Ordained. But we don't believe that there's a goddess of death, you see. We believe that our hands are in the, our life are in the hands of what? Of God. So God is almighty in that way. He created the world and our lives is in His hand. Now since God is eternal, how about men? How about men? The Bible here tells you about man too. It tells you that man is so brief. Our lives are so brief and frail. First of all, it says that 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. I don't know whether you think of that or not, but I always think of that. When I met my schoolmates, I talked to him. I said, so-and-so, you remember that when we were young, we played marbles together, and we played basketballs too, you see. Just only a few weeks ago, one old friend told me. I said, yes. And he told me, yes, I can still remember that. That was only not long ago. I said, no, That's about 40, 50 years ago. You see, 40, 50 years ago is just like what? Yesterday. But to God, 1,000 years is just like what? Yesterday. Our time in this world is so short. Do you know that? You don't think that you are going to live forever and ever. 1,000 years in thy sight is just like yesterday. And it is past. It is past. The second thing is that man's life on earth is like what? Like a watch. A watch. In the ancient Hebrew time, a watch is only two. Two watches at night. One is from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. and 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's two watches. But later on, the Roman rules, they say there are four watches at night. 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. So there are four watches at night. Now in China, when you go and sleep in China, and very often in the ancient days, you hear that someone will come out and strike a gong, pong, and tell you that it's time, 1 o'clock. Then one more hour, pong. But you often hear that it's so soon. Why, when I open my eyes, then pong, then another time, pong, like that. So quick. Now our life in this world is like that. It's like a watch. Goes over. And not only that, our life is like what? Like a sleep. Do you know that when you sleep soundly, and then tomorrow morning when someone is going to wake you up, you are so reluctant to wake up. You say, no, I've just only slept for 1 hour. Why do you wake me up like that? In fact, we have already slept for 6-7 hours. But they still think that we sleep only for 1 hour. Because life is like a sleep, so quickly. Now, life in this world is like what? Like a flood. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. It says that thou carriest them away as with a flood. In 1970, November the 13th, East Pakistan, when people were enjoying their holiday around there at the beach, having their siesta and so forth. Well, they think that the weather is so fine and the wave is so calm and so forth. Nobody had thought that suddenly there arose a tidal wave which came up. About 2,000 people died instantly. 2,000 people swept away by the tidal wave and they died instantly. And 200,000 people were killed. 100,000 people were missing. So all in all, 300,000 missing. Again in 1977, the same place, Bay of Bengal, about 100,000 people got killed by the tidal waves. In India, Orissa, 1999, there was a cyclone that swept away and many thousand people were killed instantly. In 2005, in southern USA, the Hurricane Katrina had swept through the whole southern coast and there were many people who were killed. The latest one, I think, is in 26th of December 2004. That's about 4 years ago, or 3.5 years ago. A tsunami struck because of the earthquake. The Indian plate and the other Burma plate all slipped, causing an earthquake of about 9.1 to 9.3 on the Richter scale. Now, as a result, about 225,000 people died instantly, and many missing. Well, life is like what? Like a flood. It came so quickly, and then life is gone, and nobody knows. Then Moses is saying, life is like what? Like a grass that is cut down. I maintain a small collection of orchids. Then I often fertilize them. But when I fertilize them, underneath the grass grow faster than the orchid. So I had to go and quickly go and cut them. The moment I cut them and put them there, in about half an hour's time, they shrinkle, dried off. So life is like that, very quickly. And Moses said, in the morning it flourishes, but in the evening it withereth. It withereth. So life is as short as that. So that tells you that man is what? Is frail. Frail and brief. Our life on earth is very, very what? Very, very short. Never think that, oh, I still have so many years to live and so forth. I do not worry and so forth. No. You should not do that. Eh? Now, the Bible also tells us that the average lifespan of men on earth, according to the time of Moses, is 70. That is 70 years. But now I have passed the 70. By reason of hell, you may be 40, it may be 80 years old, 40 years. So I'm almost reaching the 40 years. But I don't know how long am I going to live. I cannot be sure. Seeing that our life is so short and like a grass, in Psalm 103, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Our life on earth is exactly like that. It's swept over very instantly. And then nobody knows. The place also cannot recognize it. Now, what then must we do? Seeing that God is eternal. God is forever, from everlasting to everlasting. But man is so brief. The brevity of man. As Moses said, you can live only for 70 years or 80 years. Or perhaps you may be living a bit longer. But I say that's an average. Let us not think that what the Bible says, then we will live up to 70 and 80 years. I tell you, no. There are many people who died at the age very young, about 10, 20 years old. Or even younger than that. So we should not think that we are going to live on earth according to our wish. The Bible says that teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Moses was teaching you and me, or rather the Word of God is teaching you and me that we must what? Number our days. How long are you going to live? Are you going to live for another year? 2 years? 5 years? 10 years? I tell you, that's quite indefinite. But you must be well prepared. You must be well prepared. Now, he said, teach us the number of days so that we may acquire what? Wisdom. We may apply unto wisdom. How are we going to apply unto wisdom? In the 111th Psalm, verse 10, tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it is in Proverbs chapter 1:7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, what does it mean, the fear of the Lord? Just now, Dr. Ron Ku had read the responsive reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and you see chapter 12 verse 13, he says, fear the Lord, fear God, and keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. So one very important thing is that we are the children of God. Or perhaps we may be session members of the church, or maybe pastors and so forth. I think everyone must be able to keep the commandment of God. What the Word of God teaches you and me, we should follow. But it is so unfortunate that today there are many people who claim that they are Christians, or perhaps they are pastors or elders or preachers and so forth. They do not follow according to the commandment of God. If we do not do that, we are not applying our life unto wisdom. One day we might have to be accountable when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. We do not know when, but we must be prepared. Our account when submitted depends on our life on earth here. It is a very short life. You don't know how long we'll live on earth. Maybe 60, 70, 80 years, or 10, 20, 30 years old. See? It could be like that. But nevertheless, we must be prepared. So the word teaches a number of days. Is that what you think? Our life is so short. Now we must get prepared, everything. Fear the Lord and keep His commandments. And I think this is what God wants you and me to be. Now, when I was allotted a message to preach in the Philippines, Cebu, last year, and the passage allotted to me was from Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It says that, only let your conversation become the gospel of Christ. The conversation does not mean our word, but it means that our way of life, of course it includes our word, everything, our way of life, it must be what? A good example to show people, so that we are able to what? To attract people to Christ. It says that only let your conversation become the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is to get people to Christ. Let people know about Christ. But it depends on so much on our conversation, our way of life. You call yourself a pastor when you don't obey the commandment of God? Or you call yourself an elder when you don't obey the word of God? Or you call yourself a Christian when you go and sin? It's not a good way of life, and you will not be able to attract people. And that is not fearing the Lord. That is not fearing the Lord. To fear the Lord means that what? You obey His commandment, you do His commandment. And then as a result, our testimony or life will be shown to others, so that others will be able to come to Christ. Now, I believe that I spoke of an illustration here before about an African in the olden days, when a woman was very ill and she was admitted into a mission hospital. So when admitted in the mission hospital, she didn't know about Christ because she was from the interior. After admission, she was actually very ill. But nevertheless, the doctor and nurses in the mission hospital helped her. And finally, she recovered. After recovering one day, she was supposed to leave the hospital. So the nurse asked her, would you like to believe in Jesus Christ? The woman, after thinking for a long time, she did not know who Jesus Christ was. But after thinking, said, if Jesus Christ is like this man, then I will believe in Jesus Christ. Because the doctor and the nurses treated this woman so well, helped her to recover. Their conversation becomes the gospel of Christ. What they did become the gospel of Christ. They did not preach to the woman, but nevertheless their way of life had exemplified that Christ is in them. So beloved, Moses is teaching you, teach us to number our days. Please do that. Don't think that you can live on earth for a long, long time. Like Emperor Qin, I tell you. No. Today Emperor Qin is in Xi'an. There's no more. He's buried there. So we should number our days and apply unto what? Unto wisdom. Use the rest of our days while we live. For what? For Christ. For Christ and not for ourselves. And if that is so, then our lives will be able what? To be a compensation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fear the Lord. Obey His commandment. And this is what? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. If that is so, then we really know how to number our days. Now if we keep on sinning and keep on doing against the commandment of God, I think we are not fearing the Lord. Then we are not numbering our days. You think that you could live for a long, long time and don't worry about the consequence of all this. May the Lord help you and me and each and everyone that we, while living, will continue quickly to what? To number our days. How long am I going to live? Must I spend my time wasting in sinning and all this? I think I should not do that anymore. I must use the rest of my time for the sake of Christ. If that is so, I think the church will grow, continue to grow and grow. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank Thee for Thy Word. Because so oftentimes we are thinking that we are going to live on this world for a long, long time. And we do not worry about our consequence of sinning and all the works that is not involved in the church. Lord, help us that we may be able to number our days on earth. And then while knowing that, we can use the rest of the time to serve Thee in all ways, so that Thy kingdom may grow bigger and bigger. Thank Thee once again for Thy word, and may Thy word enable each and every one to number our days. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.